The emergent church wolves, the false leaders, if you will, of the emerging or emergent church in the seeker-friendly movement, always set up a straw man, and then they become the answer, or their theology becomes the answer to what everybody else was doing wrong. And what they have to do is they've got to sacrifice or bash Christians of previous generations. So they say stuff like Brian McLaren, one of the leaders of this emergent church, he says, quote, "You see, if we have a new world, we will need a new church. We won't need a new religion per se, but a new framework for our theology. Not a new spirit, but a new spirituality. Not a new Christ, but a new Christian. Not a new denomination, but a new kind of church in every denomination. These guys are being used by Satan." That's an unquote, by the way. Close quote, I should say. Men like Brian McLaren and Paget and other men, they are being used by the devil to bring about this one world religion and this ecumenical New Age pagan religious system. And so they're operating within the evangelical church world to break down all the walls and the barriers and the doctrines that make us unique. And as I began to say earlier, they try to make it look like the Christians of old and previous generations were basically fuddy-duds and not tolerant and all this stuff. Now, what they're doing is telling on themselves. Actually, Christians then were much more astute and biblically learned than we have today. There's so many truthless, scriptureless people running around calling themselves Christians. And so these devils wouldn't have had any platform back then, you see, because the Christians then were much more astute in the Word of God. They actually went to get together, as we call church, I guess you could call it. If it's done right, that's a good thing. And they got in the Word of God. Today, you're going to find it very difficult to go to 1,000 churches in America and really have somebody get in the Word of God with you and get you into the Word of God. Listen here to the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. Remember, friends, there's no new thing under the sun. Absolutely no new thing under the sun. All of these things that have been are now today, as Ecclesiastes tells us. You know, there's no new thing under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. There is no temptation, right, that has taken you, but such as is common to man, Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No new temptation. Satan's still given us the same lies he gave the first man and woman in the Garden of Eden. Now listen to Jeremiah 6:10. "To whom shall I speak and give warning," Jeremiah writes, "that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." And that right there, as you search the scriptures, you're going to find that every time Israel departed from the Lord, they were cited as those who departed from the word or the law of the Lord. As he says here, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. And that's when any and all deception can be overtake people's minds and hearts and lead them to eternal damnation, when they no longer love the word of God. In fact, I had a heated conversation with a young man tonight who was insisting that he had graduated basically from the word, and he walked in the spirit, and you know, he didn't need the word every day. And I proceeded to minister to him, if you will, about, and I was trying to help the young man about how deceived he is and doesn't even realize it, and trying to dig into who told him that. And he wouldn't listen, but You know, the scripture tells us that the word of God, the written word of God, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And those who do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved, are going to be deceived by Satan and perish. They're going to be sent by God's strong delusion so that they believe a lie, and they're going to be damned. Now, these are all words that I'm plucking right out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. I want you to write that down and become very familiar with that. That's going to hold so many of the answers that you're going to have, excuse me, to the questions you're going to have, especially in this late hour when the love of many is waxing cold. Why are they waxing cold? It's very clear here. They do not receive the love of the truth. There's nothing that has changed. Right here in Jeremiah's day, he said, the word of the Lord is unto them, unto the people of God, or the people that were once of God, a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Let me ask you, friend, do you delight in the word of God? I want you to read Psalm chapter 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, and every single verse is exclaiming the beauty and the wonder of the written word of God. Don't ever let anyone seduce you away from the need for the written word and to adhere to it. It is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. The written word is. And God never sanctioned us being led by the Spirit, quote unquote, to the point that we're supposedly divorced from or we graduate from needing the written word of God. That's absolutely delusional. In fact, it is the Holy Spirit of God who gave us the word of God. So if you're following the word, you are following the Holy Spirit. And then they try to take this out of context where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Well, Jesus' voice is heard in no better place and no more sure place than the written scriptures. Because he is the word of God, and he gave us the word of God in tangible form so that we're not deceived by another spirit, which is a quote out of 2 Corinthians 11. It's a term from the Bible, by our own wicked imaginations or anyone else, any philosophy. Paul said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Beloved, his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Psalm 119:105. The longest chapter in the Bible is not on being led by the Spirit. It's on walking in the Word of God. Amen. And it's, I think it's a 170-something verses. The longest chapter in the Bible. And it's just right at the middle of the whole Bible. No accident to that. No accident that it is the longest chapter in all of canonized scripture, and its sole subject is the very word of God. That's how we know God. That's how we walk with God. That's how we stay with the Lord. Beware, beloved, the processes used of deception and reasoning and philosophy that are coming on the world are going to get worse and worse, and they're going to snare us if we're not given over to the Lord and using only his word as our source of truth. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, Father. Thy word is truth." See, there are many wolves that are baiting and switching folks, baiting them to lure them away from Christ as they are directing the attention of the person or their prey, and their allegiance to another god. So what they have to do is get you off of the word so that they can introduce some other form of philosophy or vain deceit to mislead you. Let's see, Jeremiah, the same chapter, chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, "They," that is the false shepherds, "have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly." In other words, they put a band-aid on something that only God can actually heal. This is talking about false healing like we see today by offering people false philosophies, paganism, occultic stuff like the labyrinth and all this, and contemplative prayer and yoga. These things are all the emptying of the mind so that demons can come in and possess you. We need to get in the Word, lest we be ashamed in the end. And we ought to be a little embarrassed if we've been caught up in any of that stuff. We've been gullible dupes. Yes, that's what I said. I use that term, and I probably always will. Gullible dupes. We should be embarrassed if we've been sucked in by this stuff. We've all been deceived, too, that's for sure. But this is no time to be deceived. We have to be set free of that through the truth. It's the truth that makes us free. So the false shepherds of Jeremiah's day are no different than those today. They're healing. They're given a false solution, if you will, a false diagnosis, and a false medicine, if you will, one that is healing also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. What is the hurt of mankind? What is the hurt of even God's people? It's sin. Sin is always the core problem of man's core problem of man. And the only solution is a nail-scarred, risen Savior. The emergent church wolves, I've heard them with my own ears. They demote Christ as someone who was not unique. In all of history, that he's just one of many leaders. This is nothing but a false religion, folks. There are many false gods honored in Islam and Buddhism and stuff like that, and the Baha'i faith. And Jesus is just one among the many, which is a ridiculous deception. Jesus Christ is the only human being ever born of a virgin, beloved. And he was the only one who foretold that he was going to die on a cross, be buried, and rise again 3 days later. He is the prophesied Jewish Messiah of the world. He fulfilled over 300 specific, detailed prophecies to the very detail. There's no one like Jesus. He is unique and matchless in all of history. Hallelujah. And let me encourage you to do something, and that is to study the book of Colossians, beloved, especially the first two chapters on the uniqueness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also Isaiah 53. So these false prophets are saying, then it says, they're saying, this is Jeremiah 6, 14 through 17, they're saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You see, they're not upholding the Prince of Peace. They're not upholding Him who is the head of the body, even Jesus. Therefore, no nourishment is flowing to these people. I've met some young people that have tragically been deceived by these wolves, these absolutely ungodly, vile, venomous, ravenous wolves who are smiling, handsome, or whatever it is. They got the best looking book covers on their books. They're very enticing, and they have seduced so many people into a completely pagan so-called Christianity. Then he says, they were ashamed. Were they ashamed, I'm sorry, when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, it sounds like their consciences were seared as with a hot iron, as Paul said. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down. In other words, judgment is coming. They're going to be sent strong delusion. Jesus said there are those who believe for a while. It means they were saved. And then that in time of temptation, they fall away. The Apostle Paul told us that the Spirit of God speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, etc. So they're going to be cast down, saith the Lord, thus because they did not love the truth. They were not valiant for the truth. Jeremiah 9, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Hallelujah. We don't need a new way. We need the old paths, man. Are you kidding me? I love that verse. You ought to remember that. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. We are to ask for the old paths and not be looking around for something new. God's word has been written from generation to generation of God's people, the Jews, and given to us in the canon of Holy Scripture. That, by the way, is specifically Jeremiah 6:16. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. There is the good way and walk therein. Where is the good way? And walk therein and ye shall find rest for your soul. See, rest comes from the old paths or the eternal truth of God. It's unchanging because God is, and it's timeless. It's always fresh and relevant. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away. It's going to be renovated or changed, but my words will never pass away. God is infinitely divine and eternal, and therefore he has nothing that's not perfect. He is the divine personification, if you will, of perfection. Nothing needs to change with God. And God says of man, his testimony of man is that we're all guilty before him. Romans 3 and also chapter 11, verse 32. All the world is guilty before God. Sin is what we're guilty of. We're guilty of violating his law, his holiness. And our only solution, the only solution that God provided for us, was the nail-scarred, risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We're only redeemed by his blood, and that's never going to change. The heart of men is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's what you've got. You've got ungodly, unsaved, therefore unsanctified and unjustified men that are wolves in sheep's clothing, that are teaching people that there's some other solution to. They're not even preaching on sin anyway. A lot of them deny that it exists, either blatantly or by completely ignoring it. But the Bible's clear that man is corrupt and the thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. And he has but one hope, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon repentance and putting our faith in him, he makes us a new creature and washes away our past and present sins. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him on an ongoing basis, and his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We are the very temples of the living God. He dwells in us. He put these divine treasures in our earthen vessels after he renovated them by regenerating us or causing us to be born again, which is a miracle of God, and providing a place for his Holy Spirit to dwell. That's the solution. We walk in the Spirit and we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, as the scripture says, after he makes us new creatures. And that only happens upon believing in the one unique Savior and Lord of all, Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. Amen. Okay, so in Jeremiah 6, it says, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. That's what we ought to be crying out. Lord, give me the old paths. Hallelujah. Give me your ancient, eternal, ever fresh, ever relevant, and ever future word, O Lord. I love you. I love your precepts. Friends, do you realize that God lifted his word even above his own name? And this guy tonight is arguing that he doesn't need the word of God. He walks in the Spirit, so he doesn't get in the word of God every day. This guy's totally delusional. You never graduate from needing the life that is in the word. Jesus said these words are spirit and they are life. You can't separate the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, and the words of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Meditate on that. Ephesians 6:17. The Holy Ghost of God, the Bible says, moved upon holy men of God And that's how we got the scriptures, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. It's the last three verses in 2 Peter 1. I want you to take close heed to this passage. Get into your Bible, highlight it, underline it, and really pore over it. Write it on an index card. This is extremely important. I find myself quoting from this passage often. It is the answer to many questions that arise from people that are searching, and from to help Christians to learn of the Lord and to grow. Verse 19 of 2 Peter 1 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now, if you back up to about verse 16 or even verse 12, you'll see that Peter was one of the three disciples of Jesus who was actually on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, Matthew 17. And he heard the audible voice of God speaking to the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And yet he's saying here in verse 19 through 21, he's saying that the written word, specifically the written scriptures, are more sure than even the audible voice of God. Now you can check this out closely in this passage. Please do not take my word for it. Take God's word for it. And as you study the passage, inevitably I believe you'll realize that he's talking about the very audible voice of God, like verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables or made up fairy tales and stories when we made known unto you," Peter writes, "the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received," Jesus received from God the Father, "honor and glory." See, the Father, remember, in that transfiguration, the Father spoke from heaven audibly and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that's what Peter, who was actually there, is referring to here. "For he received from God," that is, the Father, "honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the mount." You see, Peter was an eyewitness. He was actually there. This is amazing. Then he says, "We have also," watch this, "a more sure word of prophecy." Say what? What could be more sure than God's audible voice speaking to us? Well, he's telling us what's more sure, and he's specifically talking about the Holy Scriptures, as we're going to see here. It's more sure than God speaking from heaven. God is more interested in us being led by the Spirit through the Word than being detached from the Word and thinking that we're being led by the Spirit. I guarantee you, if you're not in the Word, you are not being led by the Spirit. Let me give you a real common example. People who claim to be led by the Spirit are not doing some of the foundational things, many of them, that we're told to do in Scripture. So how in the world could they be being led by the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit gave the Word of God and he's unchanging? Impossible. Who's lying? They are lying. When you don't walk in love, when you're not a blessing to others, when you're not evangelizing and obeying the Great Commission, you're not walking in the Spirit or according to the Word. And if you were walking in the Spirit, you'd be walking into the Word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You are full of self if you think that you're being led by the Spirit and you're not obeying the Word of God. That's absolutely delusional. There are many other examples. Verse 19 of 2 Peter 1. Let's pick it up. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Jesus Christ is the day star, and he's written upon the canvas of our hearts by the word of God. Amen. This fella I was having a discussion, quite a heated one, with tonight, Said the word of God is written on our hearts, the table is of our hearts. I said, well, if that was enough, why does the Bible command us to study to show ourselves approved unto God? If that was enough, why does the Bible tell us that we're like the Bereans, if we're going to be noble in the eyes of God, we should be searching the scriptures daily? Hello, searching the scriptures daily, Acts 17:11. And, you know, many other scriptures we could bring in there. The Bible didn't mean we don't need the Word of God in our minds and hearts because it's written on our hearts. I think they grossly take that out of context. Verse 20, 2 Peter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, there it is. Were you wondering if this, some of you were wondering, is this really the written Word of God? Well, it sure is. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Scripture, that's the written Word of God, the oracles, the precepts of God. Hallelujah. Notice the root word for Scripture is script. All of these wolves are writing a new script. They're lying against the Almighty and will be crushed under His foot soon and sent to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. No one is going to trample the contents of the written Word of God and not pay an eternal price for it. Jesus said in the very back of Revelation, He tells us that if we add to or take away from the Word of God, the Scriptures, that we will receive the plagues of Revelation, and that includes the lake of fire. And your name will be taken out of the book of life. These who are perverting the Holy Scriptures, many of them were saved in the past, but they have departed from the faith, having given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, you see, which are contrary to the doctrines of Holy Scripture. Think about those two words put together. Scripture. Script. We have a script. We don't need to rewrite the script. All ministry. There's a lot of people I talk to that want to write a book. That's fine if you're following the Word of God's prescription for ministry, you know, which is in Nehemiah 8:8. You know, you give the word distinctly, and then you give the understanding of the word, okay, in context. That's what ministry is all about. Whether you're writing a book, you're doing audio or video, or you're talking one-on-one to somebody, you're showing them the scripture, like Philip did with the Ethiopian in Acts 8. They read from the scriptures. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay, so no prophecy of scriptures of any private interpretation. It comes from God directly. In fact, he said in, I love this, Exodus 20, verse 22, I have talked to you from heaven. He's talking about the written word that Moses had written down. Well, it might have been on the tablets, but you get the point. The written word is God speaking to us from heaven. That's Exodus 20, verse 22. I have talked, quote, I have talked to you from heaven. The written word of God is divine. It's been preserved to all generations, including ours. And also, I love Psalm 33:11. It speaks of the counsel of the Lord. The counsel, which is the written word of God. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Hallelujah. God gave us the very thoughts of his heart in the written counsel of his word. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 33:11. The thoughts of his heart have been transmitted onto paper so that we can know the Lord and know so many things about him. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the Word of God. It's amazing to me how many people call themselves Christians, and yet they're searching in other pagan religions and different things to try to find what? all things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the Word of God. I guarantee you, if you were really saved and in the Word of God, you would not be looking anywhere else. There is nowhere else to look. That is an absolute abomination to God. In fact, let me read you a scripture passage concerning that very matter. Okay, it's Deuteronomy chapter 12. We're going to read verse 29 through 32. Listen to what God tells his people, Israel, and that we are the Israel of God. This is the Lord's command, and for us to be protected. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is our protection. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them, a protection to them that put their trust in him. Every word of God is pure. And we have protection in the Word of God and only in the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 12, 29 through 32, it says, when the Lord thy God shall cut off all, or cut off the nations from before thee, the heathen nations. He's talking to his sanctified covenant people. When he shall cut off, when the Lord cuts off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Why would you be curious about that? Something's wrong. Even so, see, he says, don't go asking and searching false religions. You know, if you're still searching in Baha'i faith, that's pretty much a mixture of everything. Islam or, you know, all of these other philosophies and religions and whatever. There's something wrong. You're not saved. That's obvious. You see, he that is of God, Jesus said, here's God's words. Those that are of God migrate to love, desire, devour, and diligently study God's word. It's their source of life. He is. And they partake of him through the living bread of his word. Amen. Okay, so how did these nations, don't ask how these nations serve their gods, he tells them. Even so will I do, then you're going to say, even so will I do likewise. Verse 31, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. See, this God takes this personal. It's an affront. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. Don't go, what kind of demon is in you that you're searching for, if you've got the Lord, you're not searching. That's the problem. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. There it is again. You shall not add to the word of God, or take away from it. Now, what's more subtle, what's happening is Christians aren't necessarily, or people that call themselves Christians, aren't searching in Islam or Buddhism or whatever so much as some of them are getting involved in yoga, which is yoking them with demons. That's where the root word comes from, yoke. And also through books that they're reading. You got to be real careful what kind of book you read, folks. We ought to be reading the Word of God. If we don't have it all memorized, we must know that we should realize that we've got a long way to go in studying and knowing the Word of God. So I don't know why we would have all this time to read all these other books. That's amazing. And 99.9% of books today that call themselves Christians, Christian books, are not helping you at all. They're not full of Scripture, which is amazing to me. Writing a book is something that we should only do if we're called of the Lord. A lot of people want to write a book and have their name on it. That's totally self-serving and luciferic. God's not impressed with you writing a book. He wrote the book of all books, and he wants us to behold it and get it in us. And then if we do and we humbly serve him, he may quicken some of us to write books, but it's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching of the Word of God. and not somebody philosophizing or doing whatever, telling their story and wasting everybody's time or whatever, but giving people the Word of God, like Nehemiah 8:8 sets the pattern out for, giving the Word of God distinctly and giving the understanding thereof of the Scriptures. Amen. But a lot of people are being snared, because while not blatantly going into false religion, this stuff has all invaded the church world. And so through books, they're reading books like from Rick Warren, who's totally false. The guy's completely counterfeit. I doubt the guy's ever been born again. If he did, if he was, he's long ago fallen away. He's apostate. The guy is a absolute Trojan horse wolf. And Joel Osteen, that doesn't even deserve dealing with. If anybody thinks Joel Osteen is a true man of God, you've got to be absolutely deluded, totally deceived. The man is not preaching the Word of God. What else needs to be said? He's defying God and even rejecting the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He does it all the time on TV. I mean, if that guy isn't a false prophet, who is? And, you know, this book called The Shack, absolutely pagan, totally New Age and pagan. And people are being introduced to these religious falsehoods and occultism through these books that they're reading from the emergent church movement, etc. Different cultures, you know, amazing. That's where they're getting them, because they're being brought into the new Christianity, which is not Christianity at all. Beloved, we need a fresh desire and diligence for the Word of God. The Scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Memorize that. Proverbs 23:23. Don't let the lie have any place in your life and your mind that you can't memorize Scripture. That's absolutely a lie. If you think about what sport or what hobby or whatever that you like and all the people's names and stuff that you have memorized, then you'll realize you have a great capacity to memorize. If you've got to say the Scripture over 2 million times to memorize it, let it be. It's worth it all. The Word of God is your treasure. Amen. Memorize Scripture. Let thine heart retain my words. Proverbs 4:4. Some of you people that are listening to me right now are called to minister the Word of God, to serve the Lord. There's nothing more important than you learning and living the Word of God. Learning the Word of God. I talked to a guy the other day that had several, he's actually a good brother, and he had several degrees from different seminaries and Bible colleges. Believe it or not, he was a good guy. He was a good brother. And during our conversation, certain scripture came to my spirit, and I shared them with him verbatim, and he listened very closely. You could tell that he'd never heard anybody just really give the Word. Isn't that amazing? He's been to like 5 different higher learning institutions, and he has a doctorate in divinity, but you could tell he had never seen and had anybody minister to him with the Word of God verbatim. And it was done in love. We were coinciding. We were having a good fellowship. And, when I walked away from that, I was thinking, you know, the guy wasted a lot of time and money. Listen, some folks listening to me probably think, with the audience that we have, there are some out there that have this idea that they've got to go get prepared for the ministry, so they got to go to the Bible college or seminary. Please don't do that. God is not going to send you to do that. Maybe I'm going out a little bit beyond my boundaries to say that so definitively, so forgive me if I am. But, if Jesus didn't come in the flesh and tell me to do that, I would not do that personally. Almost every one of the so-called higher learning institutions, seminaries and so-called Bible colleges, are not really Bible institutions at all. And they're apostate. And that's why you got these pastors in the pulpit that all they do is entertain, and they just learned how to build a business, a church business, and how to market their community. It's ridiculous. And we entered the school of the Holy Ghost the moment that we are saved by him, and we begin to walk with him and walk in his word, learning his word, memorizing scripture. There's our point. I want you to encourage you to buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. See, I've said that enough times that you probably have that memorized already. Hallelujah. God gave you a brilliant mind. Pray for a photographic memory. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Lord, help me to retain your words, because you said, let my heart retain thy word, thy words, and it's Proverbs 4:4. And listen, as you embrace the truth, the divine truth given to us in the more sure word of God, the holy scriptures that were given to us by the Holy Spirit of God, remember that doctrine is going to divide. It's supposed to divide. It's a blessing to divide. Amen. In the book of Acts, Paul divided the believers from those who refused to believe in the synagogue. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you division is good. Division is a blessing. Not unnecessary division because of sin, but division based on doctrine is a blessing. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. A dividing sword, beloved. See, the word of God is the occasion for some to believe and some not to believe. Okay? And that divides people. Jesus said that to us. He told us who's of God and who's not of God. He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. There it is. John 8:47, another memory verse. Those that are of God hear God's words. They hear God's words. Those that are not don't hear God's words. They might think they're of God. In most cases they do. But they're not of God. You don't need a man or them to tell you they're of God. They're not of God if they don't adhere to the word of God. And a man that is a heretic, after the first or second admonition, if they're not going to repent, reject them. Shake off the dust of your feet. Block them, cut them off, it's over. Okay, they need to feel that separation and let the judgment of God come upon them. Okay, for rejecting the truth of the Lord. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, then I'll be ashamed of you. That's Mark 8:38. That's a great verse to memorize. Extremely important. If anyone is ashamed of not only Christ, he said, but also his words, he's going to be ashamed of them. That means he already is, and they're not of him. It doesn't matter if they were of him. They're not anymore. Okay, the love of many is waxing cold. People are departing from the faith. They're falling away in this sinful and adulterous generation because they're refusing to cling to the Lord's truth. Amen. The old paths that are given to us in Holy Scripture to keep us on that narrow road, that narrow way that leads to life. Doctrine divides. Praise God. Let it divide. We're not yoking with Islam, Catholicism, Mormonism, or any other false religious thought or philosophy or cult. Okay? Truth is supposed to divide. Again, Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, when he comes back and puts down rebellion, he's the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring peace, but it's only going to be then. It's not going to be done by man or some group of dominionist dupes who think they're going to prepare the way of the Lord by getting the earth ready. You know, my friend Steve makes a good point. He says, we're not here to clean the pond. We're here to catch fish, you know, get people saved and get them in the truth of the word. Amen. Some people are trying, they're being seduced, and all their energy and money is moved off into social programs. You know, they want to promote the scriptures that deal with social programs, but they're denying Christ and his uniqueness and the fact that he came to die for society or the people of society. A lot of folks want to pat themselves on the back by acting like they're humane and humanitarian. Aren't they wonderful? If they were really humanitarians, they'd be helping humans, people, realize that they're full of sin and need the Savior. He's the only cure to the deadly sin in our lives. Amen. He's the only solution. Jesus was the ultimate humanitarian. Christ Jesus came into the world and died for sinners. And anyone that's a part of his kingdom is preaching the gospel that he died, was buried, and rose again to justify men and to deliver them and regenerate them from their sin in Jesus' name. Don't ever remove the word sin, repent, holiness, the blood of Jesus, the fact that Jesus is the only way, the death, burial, and resurrection, the virgin birth from your vocabulary, beloved. And anybody who does is an absolute false teacher. It's not only what men are saying, it's what they're not saying that is a clue to who they really are. Truth, that is true doctrine, divides between the true disciples and the imposters in our midst. We are a special people, the Bible says, to the Lord and of the Lord. Listen to this, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or a special people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're a special, set apart people to the Lord. Never forget, beloved, that a curious mind will cause delusion and cause the damnation of a soul. Come out from among them, be ye separate. That's what the scripture says. Be ye separate. If you've been born again, what in the world are you doing looking anywhere but God's word for truth and the treasure of in the life of his word? Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. There is no life outside of the word of God. And anyone who imagines that there is has already departed from the faith. Now, I understand Jesus Christ is manifest in the Word, but you've got to get in the Word to have Him manifested. You know, people want to say, well, you're too heavy on the Word. Well, listen, most people who claim to be Christians are absolutely biblically illiterate. They need to get in the Word, and all of us need to get in the Word more. And it's through finding out about God from what He says and the divine life in His Word that you're going to have spiritual life. Don't tell me you're led by the Spirit and you're not in the Word of God. That's totally delusional. God said that if we do such, we get in the Word, if we search anywhere else but the Word, we're offending Him. That's what He said in that Deuteronomy 12 passage. Him who is our full sufficiency and provider, and He provided His Word in written form for us as He promised. And He said, in Christ, who is the Word, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge were complete in Him. Colossians 2. Amen. All right, we're going to end this segment, and God bless you. Lots of resources at safeguardyoursoul.com to help you learn God's Word and to walk in the Spirit according to and in conjunction with the Word of God. Safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you.